extend the warmest greetings to you, and particularly warm greetings to those of you who are visiting with us today, too. We'll run through our announcements here before we really get going. Last week, we had some dates wrong in the bulletin that got corrected as we went, so hopefully we got them all nailed down today. First things first, there will be a Women's Ministries meeting happening this Thursday, May 4th. That's going to be 7 o'clock here at the church. And so ladies, I encourage you to get on out for that. There will be an mission update being given by Aaron Cleveland, and Pat Schutte will be leading devotions while Corrine brings the treats. So hope you can make it out for that Thursday at 7 o'clock. Adults Night Out is happening on May 13th at 5:30. That's going to be a great time of fellowship together, where adults can be adults, talking with each other, using adult words in conversation. Adult words, is that really how I wanted to say that? I don't think it was. But that's May 13th, 5:30. Child care will be provided, entertainment will be provided, and that's all being put on by your Lutheran Brethren Youth Fellowship. And dinner will, of course, be served, and there will be a free will offering taken up that will benefit the love offering and the Lutheran Brethren Youth Fellowship. Now, so that the meals can be planned, there is a sign-up sheet in the back there, and so if you're planning on attending, please put your name down, and we'll make sure that all the food is there that we need. Just another reminder there that Dakota Hall is getting married May 27th. That's going to be in Sacramento, 4 o'clock that day, and his address in Sacramento is listed there, so that you can send cards or gifts or whatever you like for that. May 21st is Confirmation Sunday. I especially hope you can be here on that day. That's a wonderful time where, in place of the sermon, the confirmation students stand up here and we ask questions back and forth, and we're going to be walking through the entire story of salvation and what we believe and why we believe it. And it's a great opportunity for these kids to minister to you as well as to show off what they've learned. And of course, there will also be a reception after the service, a cake and coffee reception to celebrate these kids in accomplishing their confirmation. Reminder, too, that we like to put this out there every once in a while. If you're a member of Thrivent Financial for your financial needs, you get free dollars from them that can be donated to any ministry of your choice. And so if you haven't checked your account for a while, you might as well look into that and see if there's any money sitting there. Of course, if you direct those dollars to the church here, those dollars go directly to funding the youth group and the various things that they do. And a reminder, too, that you can feel free. I was talking fast just like Dale was in class today. Feel free to bring flowers for the altar. Oh, I see there's some new ones up there already. Beautiful. It's always nice to have those fresh flowers decorating the altar. And if they are brought in memory of someone or for a special occasion, please let me know, too. Yeah. Fifty-fifth wedding anniversary for Larry and Sharon. Congratulations, guys. That is fantastic. Wonderful. They are gorgeous. All righty. Aside from those things, are there any other announcements that need to get out there this morning? Looks like we got them all. Good. Well, then I'll encourage you to look with me to our call to worship this morning, which today comes from Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. And I'll invite you to please read this out loud along with me. Psalm 116, 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. And of course, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's go now to our praise courses this morning and sing our praises to this most merciful God.
Yeah. Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound.
Well, you guys were troopers as that screen conked out. Man, you just kept right on going. That was good. Well, I invite you to turn with me to our first hymn this morning, hymn number 557. You don't have to worry about your hymnals conking out. They're always there for you. Hymn number 557 is Redeemed. I'll invite you to please rise as we sing this hymn together.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me does continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I worship Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose light delight, whose lovingly guards all my footsteps and gives to me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Thank you for your singing. You may be seated. Well, the word of the Lord is precious to us, and to bring that to us this morning, I'll invite up John Austin, who'll be sharing with us a scripture reading.
Good morning. Reading from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Praise the Lord indeed. You know, what a wonderful word that He does not treat us according to what we deserve. You know, we're sinful. We know that. God's law condemns us, and we deserve His righteous judgment and eternal punishment. But even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Praise be to God. Well, with that, we get to go to prayer together this morning, praying with each other, praying for each other. And before we do, I would ask if there are any special prayer concerns. Before I finish that sentence, I need to find my pencil. There we go. Any special prayer concerns that we can share together this morning?
Zechariah wants prayer for mommy's back.
Okay. All righty. Definitely. We'll be praying for Corrine's back and that gets feeling better. That was on her back, you said? That was on Virginia's back, is the surgery? Great. Thank you.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my sister-in-law, Marilyn Johnson.
Okay. Kidney. Okay. All right. I'll definitely be in prayer for Marilyn and her battles with kidney cancer. That's scary stuff. Thank you. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Difficult and dark times for them. We'll pray that the Lord continues to serve them and that they would continue to know the Lord. Through all that. Yeah, thank you. Yes, you bet. Marriage is such a blessing, and to have 55 years of it is just wonderful. Yeah. That's great. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, we definitely need an abundance of wisdom in our leaders right now. That's for sure. Thank you. Well, if there are no others, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and almighty Heavenly Father, we come to you today with praise on our lips and thanksgiving in our hearts, for you are Lord. You are the God of all creation, and you care for each and every one of us. Who are we that you should look upon us? Lord God, we pray that you would have mercy on us, poor sinners, for we have sinned against you. And yet, through your word, we flee to you in your mercy and thank you for the complete work of Jesus Christ on the cross, where every one of our sins has found forgiveness and where you have given us new life in your name. Lord God, in this new life, you invite us to pray to you as children would come to their own father. And so, Lord, we lift up to you Scott and his struggles with cancer. Lord, we pray that you would work healing into his body. Pray that you would give the doctors and nurses wisdom as they treat him and figure out what treatment to go with next. Lord, we pray that in all of this, you would just attack these cancer cells and bring healing to him. Lord, we pray that you be with him and his family now too and give them peace and comfort during this terrible time. Lord, we pray that you would continually strengthen them in your faith, in the true faith, and that they would be surrounded by plenty of opportunities to hear your life-giving word. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that is marriage. We thank you for all the healthy relationships and marriages that you have in this congregation here, and we pray that you would sustain and strengthen each and every one of them. But we especially thank you for the wonderful year, 55 years that Larry and Sharon have enjoyed together. And just pray that you would give them more and that they would serve as an example to those of us who have not enjoyed so many years yet. And that they would be something that we can look forward to. Lord, we pray for Marilyn and this recent diagnosis of kidney cancer. Lord, again, we pray that you would give her comfort and peace and that you would work healing into her through the treatments and methods of the doctors. Lord, we pray for Virginia as she's coming up on this back surgery. We pray that that surgery would be fruitful and again that your healing would come to her, and pray that you would give her comfort and relief from pain during this time of waiting. Lord, we thank you that Jeannie is back with us today after this stroke. We thank you that Candy was able to identify it and get her into treatment quickly. And Lord, we just thank you for the healing that you have accomplished in Jeannie so far from this, and especially thank you for preserving her through this. Lord, we pray for Corrine's back. We pray that she too would have relief from pain and that whatever is causing this would be identified of course, a treatment found out to get her feeling better. And again, Lord, we just pray for your complete healing in her. Lord, we pray for this country and especially for the leaders that you have instituted for us. Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom and acumen in leading this country and relating this country to the others in the world. Lord, we pray that you would provide this country with abundant peace and safety. And we especially pray that we ourselves, your church, would be the instrument of your grace and of your gospel in bringing this country what it needs most of all, and that's faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we continue to remember the Hoshes and their desire to get to Taiwan to do your mission. We pray that you would continue to pave the road for them. Lord, we pray for Tina, that you would continue to heal her. We thank you for the success that was this back surgery, and thank you for the healing you've shown her so far, and just pray that you would continue that in her. Lord, we pray for Rita and Carnell and their whole family as they have these struggles with cancer. And Lord, from the earthly and human perspective, it looks bad. But Lord, we know you're in control of it all. And so again, we just pray that you would give Rita and Carnell and that whole family your comfort, your peace, and the knowledge that you have them all in your hands. Lord, we pray for Arlo and his continued healing after this fall and whatever caused it. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless him with just this great attitude and ministry that you have given him. Lord, we pray for Doris and her continued healing. Lord, we thank you that she's at home and able to get care from her family, and we thank you for the healing you've shown her so far, and pray that that healing would continue. And same with her Charles. We pray that you would be with him and his battles with cancer, and pray that you be with his family as they minister to him. Lord, we pray for Aaron and the ongoing strengthening that she needs from you. Lord, we pray that you would work complete healing into her body and bless her. Lord, we pray for all who are not with us today, whether it's for travel or for illness. But Lord, we pray that you be with each and every one of them and that you would safely return them to us as we desire to worship along with them as family. Lord, we do pray for this church and this great mission that you have given us to go and make disciples of all nations. Lord, we see that all nations are already right in our backyards. And so we pray for boldness and strength and courage to bring your precious and saving word into the lives that of people who need it the most. Oh God, we bring all these prayers to you. We bring the prayers that we have not put to words. We even bring the groanings of our hearts to you. For we know that you're hearing and answering each and every one of them according to your perfect will. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite you to join in now in our next hymn this morning, hymn number 81. Hymn number 81 is, Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. And I'll invite you to please stand as you're able as we sing this hymn together. Seated. Before we go to our offering this morning, I'll mention a prayer that I neglected to get into the bulletin this morning, but I would hope that you would please join me in praying for Eileen as she gets over a recent illness and some weakness. Actually, let's just spend a little bit of time in prayer right now and do just that. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, to add to our prayers this morning, we just want to remember Eileen and her struggles with some weakness right now and a recent illness, recent infection. Lord, we pray that you would bring healing to her too and help Harold to care for her and pray that if it's your will that you bring her back to worship with us again as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us continue our worship of God now with the givings of our offerings. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we just remember that you are the giver of all good things. Everything we have is from your hand. And so, Lord, we pray that these gifts to you today would be acceptable, that we would be giving them to you out of just thankfulness. And Lord, we pray that we would take these gifts and use them according to your perfect will. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, our next scripture reading, which is our scripture reading from the epistles, comes today from 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, 17 through 25. And that actually is a little bit of overlap with your sermon text for today, but that can't hurt. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 17 through 25. I love hearing those Bible pages turn. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Praise be to God for this life-giving and saving word he has given us. Well, turn with me now to hymn number 288. Hymn number 288 is I Know Whom I Have Believed. And once again, I'll invite you to please rise as you're able as we sing this hymn together.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he has made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
And now, bringing God's word to you this morning is Greg Coleman, who's still getting wired up. And that's okay.
Wired.
All right.
Thank you. Good morning. All right. Just a second. There we go. All right. If you would join me while you're standing in 1 Peter. We'll get started. 1 Peter chapter 4 is where my text will be today. And with the verses I've chosen to cover today, we're going to be completing chapter 4 of 1 Peter. So if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, reading in Jesus' name. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Let's pray. Lord God, the idea of suffering is sometimes a confusing thing for us here on earth. We don't have control of it, and we don't always understand it. But Lord, we see today that suffering is part of your will. And Lord, we know that you're the one we put our trust in for salvation. And so, Lord, we know that if it is your will that they're suffering, that it must be for our benefit. Lord, I pray today that you will give us wisdom. Lord, help us to study your word and understand the reason for some suffering. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, suffering is a difficult topic. You know, we can look out at our friends and family and our church, and there are so many different levels of suffering. And sometimes it seems like one family gets all of it, or one times it seems like one person just has little sufferings all the time, their whole life. And it doesn't always seem fair. And to stand up here with authority and talk about suffering can be kind of an uncomfortable position for me to be in. And I trust with all my heart that God was with me as I prepared this study. And God's word, in its power, equips us to be able to deal with that. So the question, why is there suffering? I want to approach today's text a little bit differently, because I think the most important verse in this section of verses that I looked at is verse 19. And it's so important that I want to start with it. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Now, after reading the last verse of my passage, I want to turn all the way to the first book of the Bible in Genesis. And bringing up the Creator, I think it's very important that we look at Genesis 3, 16 through 19, because this is where we get to see the consequences for something that's happened to us as mankind. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. This is God talking to Adam and Eve about the consequences of their sin in the garden. To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. This is when suffering started. Before this, there was perfection. And the evidence of that, if you just turn one more page towards the beginning, is right there in Genesis chapter 1. Maybe you don't have to even turn your page. Verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And if you study the story of creation, God says it's good after every single day. God very clearly tells us in Scripture that sin is not good. Sin is evil. So if sin existed before Adam and Eve disobeyed and rebelled against God, God would not have called it good. So we can see right here that this is where suffering started, and that suffering through sin and the fall of our flesh was passed on through all of our ancestors, and we still get to share in that today. Suffering is a direct result of man's rebellion with God. And it causes the suffering in our bodies and even in our souls. There's an age-old question. Does God allow good people to suffer? Why does God allow good people to suffer? What's the answer to that? Well, you know, when you have a question like that, don't be afraid to look in your Bible. What does verse 19 say? We can see right there it talks about being part of God's will. So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. See, this verse addresses the Creator we know, the God who created the universe. When everything was created, it was perfect. God says it was good. There was no suffering in the body or the soul. And that's an important point I want you to remember as I'm going through this. There's suffering in the body and there's suffering in the soul. From the moment we fell away, God has demonstrated his faithfulness to us through the promise of his perfection of Christ and death and resurrection. Let me try that again. My wife told me I wrote too small. From the moment we fell away, God has demonstrated his faithful to us through the promises of his word and his plan for our salvation. A plan that allows us to overcome our sin through the perfection of Christ and his death and resurrection. Thus saving our souls from eternal suffering. God is perfect. And in that perfection, God is perfectly just. And that means sin has to be punished until the final judgment. The consequences of sin won't go away. Our bodies will suffer until the curse of sin returns our bodies to the dust they were created from. So knowing this, we shouldn't be surprised that they're suffering. We shouldn't find it strange when we find suffering in our life. Now, this letter is directly speaking of persecution. A persecution that is facing this new church, the new era of the Christian church. And also, if you study every chapter of this epistle, you're going to find that Peter thinks that persecution is the greatest danger to these new converts. Now, as Christians, our souls are secure in God's hands. And remembering that in times of suffering is really important. This is why we can have peace in our suffering. Now, there is a danger to suffering. Because if suffering causes enough turmoil to cause us to forget who God is and to turn away from the salvation that Jesus offers us and causes us not to believe in Christ and his salvation for us, then our souls are in danger too. So knowing this, are we supposed to have peace in suffering? Well, yeah, not just peace, but we're supposed to rejoice in our suffering. In fact, I was going through my commentaries, and there was one of them that said, we should exult in our suffering. Why? Well, as Christians, here on earth is the only place that you are going to find suffering. As a Christian, earth is the only place that you will find suffering. We can rejoice in that. Why? Because we have eternity to live in heaven. Now, our suffering may be sharp, it may be fiery, but these sufferings, they'll only try us, they'll only test us, they'll only refine us. But they'll never ruin us. And persecution, what does that affect? It affects our bodies. We are blessed as Christians to have the Holy Spirit resting on us in this sinful state that we find ourselves in. Because of the Holy Spirit living on us, we're set apart from this world. Who takes joy in their suffering? Christians. We do. Sometimes we need to be reminded that. I know I do. Sufferings aren't fun. I'm a whiner. I whine, I complain. But still, through Christ, I'm set apart from this world. I'm different. And the world will recognize that. And I know I've talked about this in past sermons. The world will recognize the difference that you are because of Christ, and they are going to insult you and persecute you and harass you. Do we deserve it for being Christians? Absolutely not. But as our example, who is Christ, did he deserve his sufferings? No. Now, you could argue that we deserve suffering because of our sin, but Christ was perfect in body and soul. You and I are not. We can never be perfect in body, because this thing is going to be destroyed. But the great thing is I'm going to get a new one. We belong to Christ, and what we have in Christ is worth suffering for. Now, we continue to try to do good as we live in Christ. And again, we come to a topic like this, and it always makes me kind of cautious, because as I've said many times, this is a letter written to Christians with the assumption that Christians understand that they are sinners. They are lost, but they've been saved from their sin. So when we're told to live good lives, this isn't saying you won't be saved if you don't live lives, because we really can't live a good life. But living a good life does not save us. As Dale said in our Sunday school class today, living a good life does not save us, but living a good life can be a result of our salvation. It's part of the fruit that being a child of God produces in us. Well, it's very important that we realize that the decisions that we make and the choices we make can still have an impact on our eternal soul. Because there is not comfort in the sufferings that we bring on ourselves through our own sin and folly. There's not comfort in that. Now, there's forgiveness for it, but we don't have comfort for the sin that we bring on ourselves. You know, this little statement in verse 15 talks about we shouldn't suffer as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. And, you know, I originally approached that and I thought about it, well, you know, that's a suffering that we sometimes, you know, we might give punishments to people who do bad things. That punishment might be jail, it might be in-house confinement, in-school suspension, spankings, time out, no screens. I mean, you know, from adults to kids, there's punishments. We do deserve to be punished for our sins. We don't have an excuse for calling ourselves Christians and yet living a life that tells others around us that we're just like everybody else in the world, lost and condemned, and not having God in his proper place. But then I started looking at this, and I started to wonder, you know, if suffering gets bad enough, or if persecution gets bad enough, might I be tempted to try to become my own protector or defender? And I wonder if this statement might be a reminder kind of in that area too, reminding us that you don't have to be your own protector. You don't have to be your own defender, because God has promised that he will do that. That's what the final judgment is going to be. You know, I've never considered myself a pacifist before, but I know wholeheartedly that I trust my soul completely to God. And though I have my faults and I have my struggles with sin, you know, I should be able to trust this sinful body to the protection and defense of God as well. You know, the early Christian church was not always called a Christian. One time, one of the Roman officials is talking to Paul, and they're telling him, this sect you're a part of. And sometimes they're called the brothers, and sometimes they're called the disciples. Today, we're called Christians. And by being called a Christian, we get to take part in his name. And I know when I first said that, I said, yeah, but there's so many people that call themselves Christians that they're not. So is there really honor in calling yourself a Christian? Well, let's look at this. See, we're talking about suffering and persecution here. When the suffering and persecution hits, those who are proud to be Christians are going to still be proud to be Christians. Those who are calling themselves Christians that are false, they're going to run. And they're going to gladly step away from being called a Christian. No, you know, don't let the people who don't reflect what a Christian is sour you on taking a joy and an honor and a privilege of being a part of Christ. We are Christians, you know, and we can take pride in that. There's ownership in that. Christ has taken ownership in us as we call ourselves Christians. The world is ashamed of shame. They don't want to be called a loser. They don't want to be called a sinner. They would love it to just be a nice, equal playing field where everybody has everything. But, you know, Christ, he willingly was shamed for us. This is God's grace for us. There's no honor in you and I suffering for our faults, but there's no shame in suffering for Christ. And that's why we can say, praise God that as a Christian we bear his name. There's kind of a challenging point in chapter 17 that talks about a judgment that is coming. Chapter 17, verse 17, please. Judgment is coming. What does it tell us about that judgment? For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. That's interesting. Why would judgment start with Christians? Well, when the destroyer is unleashed on the world, he's going to try to destroy Christians and unbelievers. Right? There's not going to be a distinction. The devil's going to be happy to destroy us all. It begins first with the righteous and then the unrighteous. But the blessing that we have as Christians is that God is going to limit the power of the destroyer. What does he have power to destroy? Our bodies, not our souls. Because of sin, this world right now, as I said earlier, is as close to hell as the righteous will ever see. Despite all the good that we see, that we have, that the gifts, the earthly treasures that God has given us, as a believer, this is as close to hell as a believer is ever going to get. Our rewards wait for us in heaven. But sadly, and very sadly, the opposite is true for unbelievers. See, the rewards found in earthly treasures is as close to heaven as they're ever going to get. So the question is, if the righteous are punished because of their sin here on earth, what will become of the unbeliever? God's perfect justice requires correction and punishment for sin. God's people do suffer because we live in a world broken by sin. But there will be heavier judgments on the unrepentant. But these judgments will start with the house of God. Why? Because we're going to be removed from the final judgment. Praise God for that. So now we're back to verse 19. And again, we get to look, it is God's will that we have suffering. And we can take comfort in the fact that it's his will, because we know we're not going to perish with the lost. See, our suffering refines us. It's the punishment of the body, but a perfection of the soul because of the washing and rebirth through Christ. We were created in perfection and then tarnished because of our sin. But because of God's faithfulness to his promises and to us, we've been restored to a place we can live in eternal perfection for eternity. Praise God that our suffering only lasts a short time while we're here on earth. And the effects of those sins are only on our sinful bodies. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for how you comfort us. I thank you for meeting us where we're at. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness that you've demonstrated to us in giving us a plan of salvation and a place in eternity. Lord, I pray in times of conflict, in times of confusion, that we don't get wrapped up in the suffering of our body, but remember how you've perfected our soul. Lord God, thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to remain faithful to you, faithful to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Greg. That's a challenging passage, but well handled. Appreciate that. Well, I invite you to turn with me to our closing hymn, which is hymn number 422. Hymn number 422, which is Take Time to Be Holy. I'll invite you to please rise again as you're able as we sing this hymn together.
Take time to be holy, speak oft of the Lord, abide in Him always, and feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him you will be. Your friends in your conduct, His likeness will see. Take time to be holy, let Him be your guide, and run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in His Word. Take time to be holy, be calm in your soul. Each thought and each motive beneath His control. Thus led by His Spirit to fountains of love, you soon will be fitted for your service above.
Now receive this benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.